Never know what you're doing, and he's going to attack you again. But you can rest assured he's going to attack you, whether you testify or not. And so it's a blessing of God. Just keep giving God praise and thanksgiving for all that he do, because he loves us. Amen. We're going to read this morning from St. John 15, 1 through 14. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for your love and mercy and your kindness unto us. Lord, we know that you're with us day by day. God, regardless to what the devil put upon us, Lord, you still lift us up and let us go on. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we know that through this world, we will be troubled and strife, but we're headed to a better place. God, we thank you for that. We know that this world will soon be ended, and we will be with you. God, we ask your blessing for these words we read this morning. Father, we ask that you would let them be a part of us. Let us recognize that these words are you, and God be with us. Amen. And bless in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. St. John 15, verses 1 through 14. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman.
If every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth fruit.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. You do whatsoever I command you. God bless you. May be seated.
Amen. What an assurance that we have just abiding in him, in that word. You don't know what true love is until you experience the love of God in your life. And then you know how to love each other then. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come and go from verse this morning? Hallelujah in the key of G. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Forever changed. my life away. Oh, sing that chorus to him once more.
Every day for him. You know, if you, when you come through those doors, on top of the door on the outside, if you look, it says, "This day I give my all to Jesus Christ." That should be our heart's desires. Amen. We have a couple of specials this morning. I'm going to ask my family if they would come up, and we will go ahead and start with ours. So, you know, listening to a message the other night, and Brother Branham, he was talking about about redemption and how God, the great things that he does is in silence. The way he said, and he gave the example of the planets, how they move. You don't hear them moving, how the earth is turning, and how the sun can extract millions of gallons of water in silence. There's great things that he makes known in silence. And so we were thinking about that. And then, you know, when you read over when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven. He was doing a great thing on earth. His word was becoming flesh. And we're, as his bride, we're found in that silence. Be still and know that I'm God. And the work he does in each of our lives is usually in the silent places. To be a part of that is such a joy. So if you know this song, you can sing it with us. We'll just have the piano to play along with us.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy angels, so tender and mild, sleep.
Silent night. should be Lord, the birth we have, amen. Because of his birth, we can receive a new birth, a new creature in Christ. Let's sing that chorus, Because He Lives, in the key of F. And we'll ask Monica's and Anna's class if they would come up and prepare their song.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fears are gone. Because I know, yes, I know He holds my future, and life is worth the living just because He oh, is He alive in your heart this morning? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know He holds my future. And
go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and
thinking, you know, how you tell, how you go tell it on the mountain of your life that Jesus Christ is born. Brother Branham said, go tell him how your candle got lit. Go tell him what God is doing in your life. That's the only way you know there's a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, He is Lord. We're going to ask Brother Michael's class if they would get ready to make their way up here for their special.
Oh, he's my Lord. Is he your Lord this morning, Lord of all? Oh, he is Lord. For he has risen from the dead, and he is Lord.
Praise the Lord, saints. And we know that Ephesians 3:20, I believe it's Ephesians 3:20, tells us that God can do all above exceedingly what we could ask or think. Amen. And we've seen great things that have taken place. All of us, as I've said before, we have a testimony. And as Brother Bob was preaching Wednesday night, you know, we've seen miracles in our lives. And we've seen vivid miracles even in this year, just this year. And so as God has been progressing, you know, he just wants somebody to see if it can take him at his word. And if we can take him at his word, you'll see even more miracles. Amen. So that's what this song is about this morning. We trust that it will be a blessing to you.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name.
We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name.
So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable.
We've seen a miracle.
Scratching the surface. We're just barely getting a little bit of it. It's going to be an eternity. We can sing.
Won't get tired. Won't have to go home. Won't have to cough.
That's right.
Won't have to be sick. Won't have to catch our breath. Wow. Wow. Freedom. Clear set of lungs, my dear. Clear set of lungs. Clear set of lungs. Remember today after this service, obviously, since we've got a crowd here today, it's time to go eat some Christmas dinner and have some gifts given out and honor the church by giving you a dinner down at Hidden Acres. So when we get finished with this service, which will be pretty short now, and that's okay because I only got one thing I'd like to bring out to you. And if Bob will quit preaching my sermons, we'll just the way the Lord works, though, because we don't call each other and talk about it. But I was thinking on this as he was showing the history behind it, but I was thinking more on the line of, there was a guy stood up one day and he looked at the Lord Jesus and he said, "What is truth?" It was a question. Pilate was perplexed. He said, "What is truth?" Jesus had already said many, many months before, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But Pilate didn't hear that. Pilate wasn't there. But what is truth? That's what we're going to talk about today for just a moment. Brother Luis will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Get some of these announcements out of the way. Remember, the prayer service will be this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock. Come and we're just going to pray. We're not going to, like I said, we're not going to have any fellowship. Coffee, no, we're just going to come and pray. We'll open the doors, have soft music on, and background music, and then you just pray in your own way. And everyone is welcome to come. I believe that's why we're having good services, is because the Lord is pleased that we're taking out a moment of time to come and pray. Sure, you can pray at home, you can pray in your car, you can pray anywhere else, but you make an effort to come here. I believe the Lord will give you a little extra something special. All right, that's just how I believe it. And we'll be praying for the Watch Night meeting, which will be the 30th and 31st. We'll have a Friday night service at 7 o'clock. Brother Wayne Lawson will be here. And a Saturday night at 8 o'clock, it'll be our regular Watch Night service. And we'll be letting you know a little bit more about what to bring as far as finger food and things that we'll have before and after the service. So just keep that in your prayer. Also, remember, February the 11th, keep that on your calendar. That will be our annual Valentine's banquet. I can't remember how many years. I'm sure Brother Joe and some of them could find that out, how many years we've had this thing. And all of you remember last year, we almost got snowed in. It was 3 or 4 inches of snow before we got ready to leave. But that's all right. Everybody made home and safe. But we'll be announcing that more. But just put on your calendar February the 11th. And we're going to do it a little bit different this year, like I said before. We're going to open it up where that if you are a couple, then you can bring a couple with you. They don't have to be believers. They don't need to be drunks. But I believe we ought to be, as a church, we ought to be an outreach. We ought to be able to bring the community. We saw that in Ohio. I know they're watching in now. But it softened up their in-laws that were really hard-hearted about the message, because they saw love projected in you that went. They had not seen it before. They saw it in you that went. All right, so they didn't see it from somewhere else. They saw it from you. So we're going to project that a little bit further, because all of them are coming down from Ohio, plus the in-laws on one side, and we're trying to work on the other ones. But we're going to open it up to where, say, June and I can bring a couple with us. And they got to be a couple, and they got to be married, and we'll have a good time in the Lord. And I'm still praying about it, and I may have a guest speaker just speak for maybe 20 or 30 minutes, and then we will have some fun like we always do. We'll always have our games and prizes, and Frida and Paul will be able to come. My goodness gracious. And Lily and Zach, we got some extras coming. Who knows? It's February. You never know between now and then. Oh, anyway. So just keep that in prayer. Did you have your hand up, Janine? What you need?
Sure, come right home.
Y'all have to excuse me. I do not like speaking in public. But it was just on my heart last night and this morning to say thank you to God and to this church. When my dad died at the end of 2020, I had nothing. I felt like I was empty, like my emotions were completely gone, like I was a desert inside. So I had started coming to church every other weekend, driving here from Tennessee. And someone told me to step out because everybody kept asking me, are you moving? Are you moving? Well, I didn't know. You know, it was not something I really thought about a lot. And someone told me to step out. So I did. I just put my resume out there and I got a job here in Georgia, in Gainesville. Great job. Moved down and this church became my second family. Every one of you, some of you I didn't even know, had never met ever. Every single one of you has become extended family to me. Made me feel so welcome here, so loved. I do have biological family here, which I love my brothers to death. My sister-in-laws are great. My nieces and nephews are wonderful. But especially Aaron and Sarah welcomed me into their home. Let me live with them until I can find a place that is mine. Not just some place that I can live, but some place that is mine. I hope God blesses them in the biggest way for that. My job, I found out Friday that I am getting a promotion in a huge raise. So I want to thank God for that.
Amen.
I lived in Tennessee for a long time. That place, it became comfortable. It became convenient. It's where my mom and my sister is and some other of my family. When I moved here, I missed a lot about Lebanon. A lot. And every time it gets to the point where I start second guessing where I should, that I should be here or not, somebody in this pulpit always says, put God first. God has to be first every time. And every time I hear that statement, that goes away. That feeling of second guessing whether I should be in Georgia or not goes away instantly, because this is the church where I feel where I get fed. I have been to other churches and I enjoy the services greatly, every church I've ever visited. But this is a church where I feel like I get fed by the word and where I get fed emotionally from you all.
Amen.
So I just want to thank you all, every single one of you, for being such a huge, huge, wonderful church family. And I also want to thank God for healing my mother.
Yes. Amen. Exactly right. Amen.
There is one thing that God is still has to show to the world. I know that they say there's something still wrong with her, but I'm just waiting for it to manifest. Amen. But God says, everybody, we're already healed. So I'm just waiting for that Amen. One thing to be finally manifested from Amen. Her. And I want to thank God also for healing my brother-in-law. His heart was very, very bad. Very, very bad. And not only did he get to take his monitor off his heart, they're no longer saying surgery. He just has to, they said purely by diet, he'll be fine. So I just wanted to thank God for that too. And there's probably one other thing I meant to say, but looking at all y'all house? Staring at me, I'm nervous.
How about your house looking?
Oh yeah, it's not mine yet, but I looked at a little house yesterday that was so cute. And it's perfect size, perfect place to live. I'm waiting for God to say, yes, that's yours, or no, that's not quite where I want you.
Claim it.
So I'm hoping, I'm praying that it's mine, but I'm also saying it's God's will.
That's right.
God's will has to come first above my want.
That's right.
But I'm saying God if this is your will, I'm ready for it. This is what I want.
Amen.
But anyway, I want to say thank you all. I appreciate every one of you. And I thank God greatly for putting me here where I'm supposed to be.
Right. Amen. 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 You believe that?
Amen.
I think we all have a testimony pretty much like that, too. So we pray for Sister Janine and the family there. And I know they missed their dad. He was a wonderful guy, but he's in a better place. He's looking down on us today, I believe, and said, hey, that's my daughter. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll read this scripture, and then we'll speak just a few minutes. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this testimony that we've heard, Lord. Thank you for the gifts that you've given us in this church, Lord, 365 days a year, not just one day, Lord. I pray that you just be with each one that's not here, be with the ones that are sick. We have several that are out, Lord, that are sitting at home. We pray that you just touch their heart, even as the word goes forth today, Lord, and they be healed. Touch their bodies, Lord. We pray that you'd be with ones that are sick, the ones that are sin sick, Lord. Be with the ones, Lord, that are not with us for any such reason, Father. We pray, Lord, that you just be with us in the furtherment of this service. Just help us and lead us, guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read this real quick and you'll be seated. We're still on Who is the Son of Man, but I kind of wanted to... me and the Lord were chuckling yesterday. And, I believe he has a sense of humor. And, yeah, thank you, brother. I think he does, too. And we're going to talk about truth today. Just interject a little bit about truth. But this time of the year is the most lying time, untrue time you'll ever see. And we'll look at that in just a minute. So, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of his only begotten of the Father. Look, full of grace and what?
Truth.
All right. So let's read Psalms 85:10. The Bible says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. What? Earth down here? No, earth right here. All right, everybody with me. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been talking about the statue of a perfect man, but I was thinking yesterday and talking to the Lord a little bit about truth, because you look and you see, you know, you have phrases like moment of truth, and it ain't nothing but the truth, and you hear all that, and like I said before, I was chuckling yesterday. I mean, this time of the year, we've got a man that flies all over the world at the same time, delivering presents in a sleigh that flying reindeers drive, and one of them's got a red nose. We laugh, but that's what you taught your kids.
Right.
We try to keep them from lying, but we tell them the biggest lie as soon as they're born and growing up. We have deer that fly. We have snowmen that come to life and talk. And Frosty goes away and comes back next year. Have you ever thought about the silliness of that? We're laughing today, but 99% of us older ones have told our kids the same thing, right? We told them an untruth, and this world is full of untruth, but there is one truth, and it shall spring out of the earth. That's what I want to talk about just for a few minutes today, because what brought me to that point is someone called me the other day, and we were talking about something, and what it was a doctrine that this minister had just, you know, sold his soul on and preached it for years and years, and how that you came here with eternal life, that you came here with a seed inside of you, and you were always eternal, and you never were lost and all that. And then about 2 weeks ago, he got a revelation. He said, well, it could be the other way. It could be the other way. Well, now, you've built your foundation and everything. That's why I said about when we go out into the world and we talk to people and we give them the gospel. Listen, give them the gospel. Give them the truth of Jesus Christ first. But there is a part of the message that sometimes they're asking, well, why you do this and why you do that? Are you going to tell them a lie? No, you're going to tell them the truth.
Amen.
And if it's contrary to their truth, come on, they get ill.
Right.
So do you. If I preach a doctrine that you don't like, you get ill. You, the person, get ill. Now, if you got the Holy Ghost doesn't get ill. But you get ill. That's why we talk about the memories and conscience, affection, and imagination. You go back on your what? On your past. But I want to read you something. And it came from a man named M. Richard Oliver. Listen to this. Letting people be wrong about you or a situation. False doctrine. While keeping your peace and focus is the most misunderstood power move that you will ever make. Let me break that down one more time. Letting people be wrong about you, like that brother with the false doctrine. He kicked people out of church. He didn't want to fellowship with people. And we've done the same thing in the past, maybe. But letting people be wrong about you or a situation while keeping your peace and focus. Focus on the truth. Instead of trying to go back and, in other words, jump into his pit and try to straighten him out. But focus, your peace and focus is the most misunderstood power move you'll ever make. Because what's happening is we've got a group of people that left the church. We've got groups of people, I don't know, some left here because of doctrine. No, not because I think we preach pretty much the truth, all the truth. But we have some of you left other churches and come here because of a doctrine. All right? But I hope we're to the point to where we know one thing for sure. If it's truth, it will always prevail. If it's truth, it will always prevail. It doesn't matter if you've got 75. Listen, Jesus was what? The way, the truth, and the life. Amen. He was hated by the whole world. Yes. Hated because he was the truth. He didn't just tell the truth. He was the truth. Amen. And if you got him inside of you, what does that make you? Truth shall spring out of the earth. Amen. Your earth. Yes. But when you come to truth and you stand there, and like this quote says, you stand there and you focus and have peace in what you are. Amen. You're standing in the truth. Guess what? If they're a child of God, I say they with false doctrine, folk that are untrue, guess what? They'll come around. Right. Amen. Glory. Because God's people's always got to come to truth. Yes. If you're a child of God, you will come to truth. It doesn't matter what. But don't get so muddled up and say, I'm the only one. Didn't Elijah do that one day? Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one that hadn't bowed to Baal. Lord said, hang on a minute, Elijah. I got about 7,000 in some other cities that you don't know about. They're children of mine, too. And I said, they just believe the same thing you believe. They just weren't right there where Elijah could get on Facebook and contact them. Or call them or whatever you want to say, social media. Can't get away from social media. Everything's on social media now. and they use it for a pulpit, which I hate. But there's nothing you can do about. But keep your peace and focus in that time that you think the whole world's against you. Listen, the whole world's against this message. Didn't they tell Martin Luther? Said, Martin Luther, the whole world's against you. He said, tell the whole world I'm against them. Yeah. Because if you're against the truth, if you are the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, if this message, and I'll read it to you in a little while, if this message is the truth, there's none other.
That's right.
Amen. There's none other.
That's right.
It's false.
That's right.
Listen, you and I were born on a lie.
Right.
Every one of us were born on a lie. One lie told several thousand years ago to a woman in a garden.
That's right.
Amen.
It was a lie.
Yes.
There was some truth in it, but it was a lie.
Yes.
That you're born by. That's why you have to be born again.
Yes.
And then what? Become truth.
That's right.
If Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, we've got to come to that.
Yes.
Listen to this. I want to read them. In just a few minutes, I'll read a definition. Because the definition of truth has a lot to do with faith. Because they go together.
Amen.
Faithfulness and truth. Faith and truth. They all go together. All right? Because listen, you got to have faith in what you believe.
That's right.
All right? So listen to this. So what happens is here in Jude, we've been reading this before, but it kind of struck me again, that you should earnestly contend what? For the truth. Am I changing the Bible? No. Earnestly contend for the truth which was once delivered unto the saints. The truth of the what? Of the first church age. No false doctrine. But look what happens. Certain men come in what? Unawares, telling untruth. Are telling lies. Paul even called them fables. Men preaching fables. Santa Claus. Easter Bunny. Think about it. Ungodly men. But not ungodly men that's dragging you off to the beer joint. He's teaching an untruth in the pulpit. Because he turns, look, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Rightly dividing. Today you're going to divide whether this is truth or not.
Yes. Right.
All right. Now Jesus said, my words, they are what? Truth and life.
Yes.
So if we preach the word to you today, that's truth and it's life.
Yes.
Everybody with me on that?
Yes.
But just to understand, listen, we live in a world of lies. We know that. We were born a lie. We tell our kids lie. Our kids tell us lies. We lie to everybody and everybody lies to us. Now, I know we don't as message believers, but 99% of everybody else, they going to lie.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, don't get quiet on me. Yeah. No, they going to lie. But why? Jesus told him, said, you're of your father the devil. And he said, the truth is not in you. The truth is not in you. That's why you lie. Listen to this right here. The word truth in Hebrew, the Hebrew lexicon. When you see the word truth in the Bible, this is what it means. And the word truth is in the Bible 271 times. All right. Starting back in Genesis all the way to Jesus' time and on into Peter. Firmness, faithfulness, sureness, reliability, stability, continuance. Now you think back on what today, every one of you sitting here today has some basis of truth in your head right now. I'm sorry, your truth in your head right now. May not be the truth, but it will be maybe some semblance of truth. Well, I don't think this. I don't think that. Well, and we're not talking about your thoughts. We're talking about what? Something stable. I remember, you know, I read the scripture to you several times in the last few weeks that a double-minded man is unstable. In what? In his word or in truth. He's unstable. He don't know what to believe. He believes this one day, believes this another day.
That's right.
We've got to come to one truth.
Amen.
Not two, not three, one truth.
Amen.
That's why if we get Jesus Christ in our heart, that'll help a lot to get you to the truth. Because he is the truth.
Yes.
But look, faithfulness and reliableness. There's not many liars that I trust. Well, that hurt everybody's feelings there. No, I don't trust a liar. You can't, because you don't know what he's telling you. Maybe a lie. And you know what a lie is? Wrong. But reliableness, faithfulness. You take a pastor like Brother Dale, stood here for 50 years. We relied on him to teach us the truth. Amen. We rely on the ministry to teach us truth. We don't rely on the drunk to teach us truth. We don't rely on the neighbor next door, if he's not born again, to teach you the truth. He can't, because Jesus said the truth's not in you.
Amen.
Let's go to Proverbs 16, verse 6. Just for a moment. Like I said, we'll get done about 11:45 and we'll head on down to the Hidden Acres. Some of you are new that wasn't here last year. Going to the Hidden Acres, just follow somebody. It's only about 8 miles. Just follow somebody, and they'll get you there, because 99% of you has been there. But we got a few new ones, and we sure appreciate that. We appreciate God sending us some good young people and some good old people.
Amen.
Brother Collie walked in the door, and Terrence was going, we'll wait on you, Brother Collie. I told you not to be running in the hallway. Brother Collie used to come out that step back yonder a little faster than he does now.
Yeah.
But you know what? The truth came through the door. That was truth. You saw truth walking in the door. They've been faithful. Him and Brother Darty's been faithful. The rest of you may have been, but I'm telling you, Brother Kylie and Brother Darty has been just absolute pillars in this church. Yeah. Amen. Come here sick. Brother Darty's wife can't make it to church. Brother Collie's wife passed away several years ago. You know what? That'd been a real good excuse not to come to church. Guess what? They come to church.
Amen.
And they're in their late 70s now. And they just drive right on an hour and a half to church. Shame on you people that can't drive 15 minutes to get to church.
That's right.
I'll say amen myself. Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, look, by mercy and truth, watch, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth, truth will drive out iniquity. Now, what does the Bible tell us about iniquity? In this age, in this last time, iniquity shall what? Abound. And the love of many shall wax cold. Why? They don't know. And forgive me, but it's the only way I can preach. Yesterday, we had a little Christmas thing at Gillsville, at the town. And, yeah, we had Santa Claus. But there was a pastor there from a Baptist church. And I was going to have him pray when he came in. Well, he comes in, and he's got this big wad of chewing tobacco in his mouth. And I started not to, but I had already asked the brother, I said, where's your pastor? And he said, well, he's right there. Well, I couldn't tell. He just looked like somebody been working on a farm, had a little backer in his mouth, you know. But you see that, and then he stands in the pulpit and preaches the gospel. Now, we all have faults and failures, but that's a sure sign that if I look at it, and you looked at it, it'd be wrong. There's something he needs to overcome. He hasn't overcome the world yet. Amen. So that's what we look at it and maybe his truth, come on somebody, maybe his truth said it's okay. The people that run the restaurant, they went to a baptism yesterday, closed the restaurant. They're Catholics. They went to one of the little sprinkling things. Because listen, in a Catholic church, where's Anna? In a Catholic church, if your baby's not baptized, it goes to hell.
Right?
If that baby dies, it goes to hell. No pass go, no collect, no $200. If you're not sprinkled, that's why they get them as quick as they can. They take them to the priest and have them sprinkled or whatever they do. But you know what, though? They took that as truth. The Nicene Council took everything they had as truth. And man has walked in that for years. That's why we had to have somebody to turn us back to the truth. The truth of the saints of the first church age. And thank God, you and I are recipients of that today.
Amen.
The world is not recipients of this. You and I are recipients of this. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. John 1:14, we read it. I'll read it all the time. Look, the Word was made flesh. Look, full of grace and truth. That should be me and you if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 17, I'm going to read you a quote here in just a few minutes. But you take a minister of the gospel, like Brother Dale and different ones, some ministers here that are preaching the truth, and they have a responsibility beyond any other Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever,
right.
And most of the people. They have a responsibility to teach you the truth.
Yes.
Right? Because what that truth is going to do is, what's the truth going to do when it comes to you? I'm sitting back there with you now. The truth's going to set you free.
Yeah.
It's not going to bind you. That's why when people look at the message out, they say, oh, you poor people. You're bound. You're bound to this man. You got to wear your hair long. And you got to wear your dresses long. What do you mean you can't wear pants? They wear pants and shorts to church now. So, I mean, come on. But we don't. But they're saying you're not in the truth. There's got to be a separation somewhere, but there is, like I said before, we've got to establish a truth.
Amen.
And say, this is it.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to establish the truth. Look, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You got to mix that grace and truth together. Everybody with me on that? Get here real quick. John 4, verse 23 said, but the hour cometh, and now is. When the true, look, when the true worshipers. All right, so that excludes the non-truth worshipers. I'm reading you the Bible. I'm not discluding people. The Bible, remember what Brother Brown said? He said, Jesus, he said, God is a segregationist.
Amen.
Amen? God says, get away from that thing. It's the devil. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now this is Jesus talking. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He goes and looks for a good congregation that'll worship him. That'll sing a song like we just heard a few minutes ago. And everybody said, oh, that's me. That's my God.
Amen.
He moves the unmovable.
Amen.
God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit. Everything is connected to truth. You can't say just worship him in spirit. Because remember, power without character. See, this fits right in with the statue of perfect man. Power without character is satanic. But when you take the spirit and you put it in truth, it's got to be right. Well, I don't know if it's right or not. You better get in the altar somewhere. Because I'm going to read you a quote here in a few minutes. And remember one more time, truth always prevails.
Amen.
I don't care who it's coming from. Truth will always prevail over non-truth.
Yes.
You just got to stand there and hold it. You got to stand there with some patience and some knowledge and some temperance to know that that brother's in error. And you don't go out and lambast him. You pray for it.
Amen.
That's brotherly kindness. You pray for the person.
Right.
And then guess what? A few months later, God may soften his heart up and he'll come back and say, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's one truth that we have in this church that a lot of people don't have. And that's the truth of Daniel 70 weeks. Now, some of you may not understand it, but that's okay. There is a truth of Daniel 70 weeks. And most people, 99% of the people in this message, do not have it. I hear ministers say, man, some of you may not know that, but I'm just telling you. If you've been to ministers' meetings, and you've been to, Brother Colley's been to them way back long, y'all were talking about this 40 years ago.
Amen?
Amen. And what did they do then? They ostracize you. They cut you off and say, ah, you're false.
Yeah.
Amen? Ah, oh, that ain't true. That ain't what he said. You just hang on, though.
Yes.
Just hang on. Brother Claude Weisinger, when I started going out there a lot preaching, Brother Jess was still alive. Brother Jess said, Brother Wade said, come out here and preach us. I think we had a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He said, now he's at the pastor. Come, he didn't say Daniel 70 weeks, but he said, come out here and preach us a doctrine. Preach us something. Teach us for 3 days. Pick a topic. Oh, buddy, I picked Daniel 70 weeks. Well, see, why'd y'all say, oh, my? Why'd y'all do that for? Why'd y'all say, oh, my? Because it's a contention in the message about Daniel 70 weeks. Brother Noel Johnson says, that's a shin kicker. You understand what I mean? You know, under the table, kick somebody in the shin. That ain't right. So I went out there for 3 days, and I poured my heart out. I gave them the charts. I read them the message. I read them the Bible. And I got some feedback. No rotten tomatoes, but I got some feedback. Brother Jeff said he really didn't understand it. Brother Claude said, that ain't right. And one of the deacons wrote me a long letter. That ain't right. I said, okay, prove it to me. Well, Brother Brown said, I said, hold on a minute, one more time. The Bible's right.
Amen.
What is the truth? The Bible's the truth.
Yes.
You got to make that quote that seems wrong match the Bible.
Amen.
And the Bible says that there's, after the Antichrist puts out a contract, there's 1 week left. And I even told him, I said, I really don't care what Brother Brown's saying. Because you're making him say something false. That's not what he's talking about.
Amen.
You're not understanding that week he's talking about. Because he can't change the Bible.
That's right.
Amen. But then I kept talking to Brother Claude. He kept calling me, and I kept talking to him. Kept talking to that deacon, and we'd go. You know, I remember I was going out there about every 2 weeks when they were, you know, looking for me to be their pastor or something. Oh, a long time ago. But I was go out there for 2 weeks, and boy, that's the first thing I get off the airplane. Claude would be going, all right, I've been studying this. What does this mean right here? Well, now let me just skip to the end of the story. The end of the story is he understands it just as clear as a bell. I waited on him to come to the truth. I let him ask the questions. And the deacon asked the questions. And then once it all cleared up, they said, well, they're like, hey, you're right. Well, that ain't nothing but the truth.
Amen.
See, that's letting truth have its work.
Yeah.
Letting truth have its day, but it may not be the first day.
Amen.
It was several, maybe months before they come to the truth. When I see Claude understands it, the deacon understands it, but now people can't understand when Claude preaches it. So, listen, you're not going to understand something if you don't want to.
Right.
You just cut yourself off and you'll not understand it. You know, that's for the Jews, it's not for us. Well, it does have something to do with your redemption.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And the truth of that redemption. So what am I saying is, you know, if somebody's had something against you, even like Brother Dale, 1974 he preaches the Daniel 70 weeks, or 71. 74? 74. He preaches Daniel 70 weeks. Proves that we could go past 1977. Oh, my word! Huh? Antichrist? You're going against Brother Branham. I have a quote. Well, are we still here? Are we still here? Huh? Are we still here? Are we still getting filled with the Holy Ghost? Are we still listening? Are we still what? Christians? We still believe the message of the hour? Then there must have been a truth hidden in there somewhere. There must have been something that... I'm sorry, give him credit. He listened to God. He didn't listen to man. He didn't listen to those people that said, if 1977 doesn't, we don't take a rapture, I'm turning my books in. A lot of them did, right, Pop? A lot of people turned their books back. Said, I'm out of the message. Brother Brown was wrong. He preached that for a purpose.
Amen.
To get those naysayers out of the way.
Come on.
Amen.
So that 1977 could be a year that we started our jubilee.
That's right.
The old word started opening. Not that God sent us a prophet, but God sent us a prophet with a message.
Amen.
And that message is what's going to take us out of here. But he had to stand on that where nobody else. They laughed him to scorn. He had a dream about Anna. I had a little 7 or 8 year old girl, black headed. You know, he told a dream. Told a dream is a dream. I said, oh, Brother Dale, you're gonna miss the rapture. So she's gonna be way older than that in 1977. I mean way younger than that in 1977. So you're gonna miss that tells us you're gonna miss the rapture and you're gonna have a daughter in the tribulation period. That's what they told him. That wasn't the truth.
If
they'd have listened to him, they wouldn't have had so much headache and heartache in 1977.
Yeah.
Plus.
Amen.
Amen? That was the truth. That's why Jesus said, hey, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Any man that comes to the Father's got to come by me.
Amen.
All right? So we'll get off of that. But I mean, there's got to be a truth, and you've got to realize it, that it's not a man.
That's right.
Yes.
It was a man yielding himself so that God could speak to us.
Amen.
Same way with Brother Branham. Same way with Brother Dale. Same way with Brother Aaron. Same way with Brother Bob, Brother Luis. All the different ministers. It's God. It's you yielding yourself and letting God speak through you. But you rightly divide that word of truth by bringing in and talking about Daniel 70 weeks and the seals and the different things that we've talked about. And you don't worry about somebody that can't understand it or say it calls you this or that or the other. That don't bother me a bit.
Amen.
Like Dad's always said, if I can talk you out of your salvation, you didn't get it to start with.
Right.
Like he always said, we get them in with a hot dog, get them out with a hamburger. Do you understand that? That means we get them to come to church. We give them a supper and feed them and get them to come to church. But if the next church down the road gets a steak and baked potato, they're going to go there the next time. We're going to have turkey and dressing in a little while, so I hope y'all enjoy that.
John 8, verse 31. We'll be done in just a second. I just want to make a few points about truth today. Like I said, this is the time of year where it's just lies. It's just lies being told to your kids, lies being told. And I'm, you know, if you tell your kids that, that's okay. We all grew up in it. So you can't sit over and go, it don't bother me none. Yeah, it does bother you. Right. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. John 8, verse 31 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now look, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. Yeah. And the truth shall bind you.
No.
The truth will make you, oh, Lord help, it'll make me want to come to church. It'll make me want to not curse. It'll make me not want to drink. Oh, it'll make me not want to wear pants. It'll make me not want to chew. Well, ain't that what you want? If you get the truth inside of you, that's exactly what you'll get.
Amen.
And look, the Bible says that you'll know it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is right or not. You know, people in the message, they're right on the borderline.
Right.
Well, if one preacher preaches, we'll step over here. And he believes in return ministry, so we'll step over here.
Yeah.
But now Brother Dale and Brother Wade don't believe it, so we're going to step back over here. Double-minded.
Right.
You better get settled on what you believe.
Because
if you don't, you're off the word.
That's right.
Me or anybody.
Right.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free.
Amen.
John 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Here's God Almighty saying, why don't you understand what I'm saying? Because you can't hear my word. Well, wait a minute. They were hearing it. Physically.
Right.
Just like you sit in a minister's meeting, you know, and they start talking about something, and you get up and you give this whole, even Brother Noel Johnson, the other day, actually, he looked at me and Dad, we were at a restaurant together, and he said, I have never heard it explained so simple and so to the point than what you and your dad did at that minister's meeting several years ago. But now, he was one out of 40. The other 39 didn't believe that. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth.
Amen.
Because there was no truth in him.
That's right.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own.
Amen.
Listen, when you tell a lie, it's yours. Amen? It's not of God. So you cut it off right there. But if you speak the truth, come on somebody. If you speak the truth, it is of God.
Amen.
It come from God. Because he's the only one with the truth.
That's right.
Now look. Because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Listen, that's why I made that big, so we can see that.
Yeah.
And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not.
Amen.
John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, him, I am the way,
amen,
the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
John 14:16 said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What? Even the Spirit of truth,
yeah,
whom the world cannot receive. This world hates truth. That's why they're CNN, Fox News.
Yes.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Right.
Because it's their opinion.
Right.
Have an opinion over here, and we have an opinion over here. But where's the truth?
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. So if you know him, you know the truth.
Yes.
For he dwelleth with you and in you. John 15:26. I'll hurry through these real quick, because I want to read this quote to you. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, what? Which is the Holy Ghost, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them. You into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also
amen,
yep, might be sanctified through error.
Amen.
Oh, what did I say? Truth, didn't it? Through truth. That's the only way. Listen to this. I read you this not too long ago. Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what I mean. You're born in sin, shaping the new. You're born a lie. So you can't stand truth. We try our best to tell the truth. We do. I'm talking about in the world. But how many of y'all were liars?
Yeah.
I'm right. Got my hand up. I was a liar because the truth wasn't in me. Then when you tell a lie, as I told my kids, when you tell a lie, you got to tell another one to cover that one. Then you got to what? Tell another one. But if you ever tell the truth, you tell it one time.
That's right.
And you can tell that same story all the time. One time, it doesn't deviate. But when you lie, that's why lawyers keep asking you the same question. Get you to lie. Or get you to tell your lie. So study to show yourself approved. A workman needs not be ashamed. Look, rightly dividing. We already read that. Look, watch this. Talk about Philetus and Hymenaeus. They listened to Paul's preaching. They got a untruth from Paul. But Paul was preaching the truth. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith or truth of some. 1 Peter 1 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth.
Yes. Yes.
You don't just believe it, you got to obey it.
Amen.
Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, and in being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, ever. Third John 1 verse 3. Look, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified, what? Of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Amen.
You're not going, how do I please God? Walk in truth.
Amen.
Now the word truth, according to Webster's dictionary, is a body of real things. Real events. And facts. Actually, the state of being the case, a fact. Talks about spiritual. But look, a judgment, a proposition or idea that is true, or look, or accepted as truth. See, that's not of God. If it's accepted as truth, it's something else. Like the Trinitarian doctrine, it was accepted as truth at Nicaea, but it had no truth in it at all. Everybody with me on that? That's what that means. All right? The body of true statements and propositions. The property of being in accord with what? Fact or reality? Do you know if you tell a lie, it's not real? Think about that. When you tell a lie, that means you fabricated something that's not true.
Right.
In your mind. Because
right.
If you tell the truth, it's exactly what that is. This is a black boot.
Right.
Not going to take it off. This is a black boot. That's a fact. But now some of you that can't see it say, well, I think it's white. Well, you fabricated a lie. Because that's black. Same way with the Word of God. You fabricated a truth. It's got to be a lie. And it can't be anything with substance.
Amen.
That's why hell has no substance. Hell has no bottom to it. Because it's a lie.
Amen.
We weren't supposed to. None of us go to hell.
Right.
Hell wasn't created for us.
That's right.
Sincerity in action, character in utterance, fidelity or constancy. I want you to listen to this quote right here. Everybody with me? We'll close right here. We'll sing maybe one song. Watch this right here. Now, this is from The Token, 1964. I want you to listen to this. Listen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ lives and reigns today? Congregation says.
Amen.
All right. Do you believe that I've told you what I've told you is the truth?
Amen.
It's the token, the requirement. I only can speak what is truth. This is Brother Brown. Everybody believe he was a prophet, right? I want to make sure we're in the same congregation. I only speak what I see. what I hear and what's revealed to me. Listen to this. And why I say this of the tens and tens thousands of times, I looked up, if you'll look up that word truth, Brother Brown says that probably 90% of the time he says it in a prayer line. Do you believe I told you the truth? Do you believe I told you the truth? You believe if I've told you the truth, God will do this? You believe if I told you the truth, God will do this? And they say, yes. You know what? God manifests what he said by telling them they were from another country, or they were riding a horse yesterday, or driving a blue car or something. And why I say this of tens and thousands of times, not one time has ever failed to be what? True. Why? Because it was a fact. He saw it happen. Now that has to be God. That has to be God. He says it twice. Well, would God give a ministry like that? Come on, somebody. Would God give a ministry like that to somebody that didn't know what they're talking about? Would he identify himself as that seer there and then turn around and give him a mixed up word? The guy that denies is the one that's mixed up. And God ain't mixed up. God is his own interpreter. People leave his message all they want to. They're the ones that's mixed up. If you don't believe that, then you know there's a moment of truth. All of us are going to come to a moment of truth. There's going to be a countdown, Brother Brown said. There's going to be something that's going to come, and we're going to come to a place. You're going to have to make a decision. You are going to have to make a decision. What is truth? As Pilate says, what is truth? I don't have enough information. Well, you got enough information.
Amen.
Listen to this one more time. This one, then we'll close. And then we'll just stand. Tell you what, we'll stand, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go eat. All right, because it's 11:48 now. We need to be down there in about 20 minutes. Now, they don't have this one. I just pulled it off the computer. Moses, after he received his commission, this is Kadesh Barnea, 1956, went down into Egypt and delivered the children of Israel. One great mistake we find, and one great thing as it was in that day, so it is today. When we find out that Moses went down and got the children of Israel and brought them out, the phenomenal had been done. Now, here it is. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to shake you or jerk the hide off of you, for I wish to preach the truth. There's one thing about it, brother. The truth will never make you popular.
Right.
Popular.
Right.
The truth will never make you popular.
Amen.
But the truth will make you honest.
Amen.
That's the one good thing. And well, hadn't you rather be honest than to be popular?
Right.
Listen to this. Well, read this. I got to read this quote. This is a good one. All nations and kingdoms must fall. 1957, Brother Brown. Faith once delivered to the saints. Every mortal must give away to immortality. Don't disregard those words because it comes from an uneducated person. He's talking about himself. Don't regard it because that person, the person that I am, but regard it because that is the word of God. Everybody with me? And that God himself, it's what he's saying. He's fixing to get a prayer line. If I've told the truth, will vindicate it to be the truth. If I'm false, then my preaching's false. Then my doctrine is false. Then I'm false with it. And if I preach perishable doctrine and a perishable Christ, I'll perish with it. But if I preach the imperishable word of God and an imperishable God, I'll live forever with him. I've done my best. I can't do no more. It's up to God to shake your heart to believe.
Amen.
Once more, I ask him in Christ's name to let this happen again tonight. For the glory of God, let's stand to our feet. But God didn't do that to a prophet just for him to take it back with him in a grave.
That's right.
It's to give me and you confidence to do the same thing. We must believe that we're being preached the gospel to. The truth of the gospel. And know that you know that you know. That you may have to stand alone. This church may have to stand where nobody else wants to fellowship with us. I don't care.
Amen.
I'd rather be right than be popular.
That's right.
Amen. There's a lot of popular preachers in this message that ain't telling the whole truth. Okay? But you got to decide that. Let's bow our heads. Lord, today we come to you. I know it's a hurried time of the year. We laid a lot of things aside. We've heard some beautiful singing, some worship, Lord. And I pray that the word of God went forth as we were. Like I said yesterday, we were kind of giggling about the world, telling so many lies and wanting their kids to tell the truth. But I believe you said you were the way, the truth, and the life. As Brother Bob brought the truth of St. Nick, the truth of this part that Santa Claus, we know that, Father, you were born in April. You were not born in December. But, Lord, maybe this will remind us that you had to be born. And that you were born by the Word of God.
Amen.
You were the truth. You were the life. Maybe that will remind us in this time of, as your prophet preached those many sermons, why it had to be shepherds. God's wrapped gift. Your prophet, I believe, like Christmas like I do, because a lot of people are more jovial and friendly and kind to each other. And Lord, but let us realize you had to be born, because when we come up in April and in Easter, we're going to celebrate your death and resurrection. So, Lord, just for a moment, you had to be born a baby. And, Lord, we had to be born again as a baby. But, Lord, you grew up, and you grew in grace and knowledge, and you stood up one day and you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let us never forget that, Lord. You're the basis of everything we do. Every quote that Brother Branham quoted had a basis of you behind it. And, Lord, I believe that. And for those that are not believing, Lord, I pray that you'd help them. That you'll touch their heart, Lord. Soften their heart, Lord. Take that stony heart out that maybe they want to have something different or want to not be a part of this bride of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'll touch their heart. Maybe this time of the year, maybe you'll unwrap them as a gift, Lord. And give our wayward ones back to us, Lord. As we unwrap that present at home, sitting around the fire, or maybe sitting in our living room, may we remember the ones, Lord, maybe that are sin sick, Lord, the ones that are out in the world, the ones that are not with us right now, Lord. I pray that you just, as we unwrap natural gifts, that, Lord, there'll come a knock on the door.
Amen.
I'm back, Daddy.
Amen.
I'm back, Mama.
Amen.
Wife, I'm back. I see you've stood for the truth. You've not wavered. You've not been wayward. You've stood for the truth. And I want some of that truth. Lord, may we be that way. And that be the greatest gift that was ever given, is to have a soul that's back in the fold of God. Lord, grant it, Father. Be with us as we go eat a natural meal. We'll have gifts down there, Lord. We'll have prayer for the meal. Father, I pray that as we fellowship, though, that we continually remember that we are in the truth. I believe that. We just got to make sure that we follow the truth and follow it not as a wayward child, but follow it as the followers of you. Father, just be with us now and bless us in the furtherment of this service as we go there. If anybody's sick here, Lord, I pray that you'd heal them, touch them now, Lord. Many are weary. Many are sick, Lord. Some are sick at home, Lord. I pray as they're sitting there on their couch or wherever they're at, that they raise their hands and say, by your stripes, I'm already healed. And Lord, may we hear results of that. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go down. If you don't know where to go, like I said, follow somebody. It's about 8 miles from here, down close to our house at Hidden Acres. It's a venue, big barn. And just enjoy yourself. It's all for you guys. We appreciate you. God bless you.